I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name is Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Well, hello, everybody. Thanks very much for joining us. The Fab Four are back in your ears. It's the preview show. Ooh, yeah. We're still remote, but we're still bringing you your podcast.
What's happened to Pete?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
You sound like a pirate.
I've been on the rum for about 5 days since the last record. So,
hang on, rum or run?
I thought you said run as well.
Being on the run now would be doubly irresponsible, to be honest, wouldn't it?
You can't go anywhere.
At least you've been out and bought something other than Campari, even if it is rum.
Well, being on the run would dictate that it's presumably you wouldn't want to hang out with anybody, so maybe it is the responsible thing to do. You can keep moving, just make sure you're alone.
Yeah, I suppose going on the run in a gang is a holiday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Pete, give us a blast of your musical instrument. Come on.
What?
You got something?
At least let me know that I've got to do it.
as if you weren't planning on doing it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It was only a matter of time before this started to happen, really.
Yeah. Rock and roll, baby!
One-eyed Willie reforming. When's the Harley Davidson arriving, Pete?
Yeah. I'm having a very quiet meltdown. I'm having a very quiet midlife crisis.
Imagine if you walked into Pete's flat in Soho and in the living room, he had like a really massive, inappropriate Harley Davidson. What are you doing with that? Yeah. How'd you get it up the stairs?
Yeah, I've built it piece by piece. I can't get it out.
To be honest, Luke, having an Isovox vocal booth in my front room is just as disruptive. I can't do my Wii Fit.
Oh, that's a shame.
I can't do my Wii Ring Fit.
Oh, mate. My giddy aunt. Well, Peter, we do feel for you. We really, really do. Mm. Gentlemen, I'd like to start by saying that this would have been International Week. And that made me miss Peter even more.
There's a really sad note in your voice there, Marcus. I feel for you in particular here. Because this is where you are most at home, isn't it, international football?
Forget those Liverpool fans. Think of me, ladies and gentlemen. Should be enjoying friendly matches against Italy and Denmark this week. But no, it's not happening, which is a great shame. And of course, the return date of the 30th of April for the Premier League and all the rest of football, that will be put back, surely. There'll be announcements set for next week.
That's my birthday.
What, 30th of April?
Yeah, it is. Do we have to move my birthday back as well?
You are unbelievable to telling the listeners when they all need to tweet you happy birthday.
Yeah.
Pete, you will roughly get exactly the same amount of guests to your birthday as you would do normally.
Yeah, and I think you've moved your birthday back a few times, haven't you?
He's like Russell Kane.
Naughty.
Russell Kane, though.
Oi. The FA, though, has announced that this season is over for some of the non-league clubs, those divisions below the National League North and South. So the results for this season in those leagues will be expunged. It seems brutal when it happens.
It does.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
We were saying not that long ago that, you know, the season will probably be null and void unless they can fulfil the fixtures in the summer. And I think that we'll have to wait and see, but I think we were sort of idly saying that. Whereas now that they've actually said of some of these leagues further down the pyramid, much further down the pyramid, no, it's over. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, it's brutal, Luke.
It is. And a friend of mine, Danny, who's a manager of a team called Infinity FC, who are currently riding high in the Hampshire Premier League.
They're
unbeaten. Yeah, they're unbeaten. Exactly. Yeah, they're unbeaten. They were on course for a record breaking season. I think they were six games away from the record breaking season at that level of football. It's all torn up to start again. And when you see it firsthand, he's a good friend of mine, and the amount of effort he goes to get the team going, to do all the travelling, because at that level as a manager, you have to do quite a lot of different stuff. It's just him and the assistant, and for that all to go to waste. He was saying to me, he gave an interview in the local paper down in Portsmouth, and he was saying to me on the phone yesterday, look, it's kind of really difficult at this point to even think about motivating myself and the boys to do the whole thing again next season. It's really, really soul destroying for them. But unfortunately, we're living a world now where football is very much second fiddle. And what's really important is people's health and safety and wellness. And so, but there are still huge amounts of regrets about it. And you can understand that.
Yeah. Absolutely. What do you reckon, Jim? Do you still think to yourself, oh, it could happen to the Premier League, and that would probably go in Arsenal's favour?
Would it? I feel like, actually, we should probably hold our hands up on that. I feel like perhaps we were wrong about the idea of the voided season, although, again, I would make the point that we said...
Speak for yourself, Jim. I'm never wrong.
Null and void.
Can I speak for you as well, though? No, I think obviously we did make the caveat, as we said before, that if the fixtures can't be replayed, that would maybe be what should happen. But I think the direction the Premier League are talking about going in is the right one to make sure this season is finished in any eventuality. And you're right, Marcus. It seems brutal. It just seems really harsh. And you know, without even having a dog in that fight, not that I would fight dogs, it does feel like this huge step backwards for people that have put a lot into a thing. And it's that exact problem, isn't it, of motivating yourself to do something you've effectively already done.
But Jim, just to cut in on the idea of what the Premier League are doing, there are some, I mean, it's very early days at time of recording, and we don't have any particular insight into this, but as far as I know, I certainly don't, but there are rumblings among Premier League chairmen and decision makers at Premier League clubs about whether they will finish the season now. It's been reported in The Athletic this morning that there's a few people at the top of the Premier League who feel a little bit unsettled about what's happening, and are starting to think that football isn't important at all, and what's really important is that we get through this pandemic, and however long it takes is however long it takes, and yeah. if it's not viable to finish the season after that, then it may not be, they may not be able to, because it's just not a priority. So it's really worth watching that situation develop with interest, I think, because ultimately, as I said a couple of minutes ago, football isn't hugely important in this situation.
Well, I think we can all agree that whatever does happen, of course, is that Celtic should be given the league title in Scotland.
Well, that's really on Rangers.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, to hand it over. I think Pete Donaldson should be given the Scottish Premiership title.
I think so.
He's got that Rangers/Celtic kit.
Yeah.
That I think might take off.
Pete, are you the unifying presence that people need at this difficult time?
Look, I'll have a dab at anything. I'll have a dab at anything.
Like Paul Pogba.
Scotland, sectarianism, anything. I'll sort it all out.
Is there a problem that Pete Donaldson can't solve? Pete, it's over to you.
Hello. Yeah. Israel, Palestine, come on, lads. Let's sort this out.
It's an idea. Peter, would you care to have a dab at Mike Ashley at this time? I mean, he's managed to still come across as a bellend during this this terrible time we find ourselves in.
Key worker Mike Ashley.
Was the round of applause last night for Mike Ashley?
Should have been. That's who I was clapping for.
Deary me.
No doubt. I mean, to be fair, in many ways, the NHS has been slashed for years thanks to governmental interference. I mean, I guess it's their job, but obviously there's been a massive period of austerity. Mike Ashley is very much into austerity when it comes to running football clubs, and also... Yeah,
Mike Slashley.
His shops as well. So it's been... he's been a weird... anti-hero that we thought we never needed. So in this crisis,
is he an anti-hero?
Fair play to him. Fair play
Pete,
to him.
He put out a statement, didn't he? I think it was this morning or late last night, apologising for the idea of how it was handled about leaving the shops open and stuff. And then he said that all of his haulage kind of resources would happily be used, given to people who need to use them more than they did, which I suppose is kind of admirable eventually. But is it true that they're still pushing through the renewal of Newcastle United season tickets regardless, though?
Yeah, the direct debits have been taken out of the people's bank account. So unlike other clubs like Brighton, who've delayed the supporters' direct debits so that they can sort of manage their finances a little bit better. Obviously, people aren't going to be working through this crisis, or they're going to get paid reduced wages. But Mike Ashley and his cronies seem to think that it's acceptable to take.
Well, someone's got to pay for those lorries.
Yeah. When you say that Mike Ashley is offering his haulage, he does mean the drivers, right? He's not going to be pulling the lorries along the motorway himself, like some sort of world's strongest man thing.
Yeah, like one of those record breakers pulling the aeroplane along with their teeth. Yeah.
Just doing everything he can to repair his reputation. But Brighton also said, didn't they? They sort of pled with other clubs to do the same thing that they're doing. So if it gets to the point where other football teams are begging you to rethink your policy towards your own season ticket holders, then you've got to have a look at yourself. But then, I mean, who knows what Mike Ashley's getting up to at home? Probably power drinking, not a dry fireplace in the house. Yeah.
Enjoyable. Enjoyable. Did you see there's a little bit of transfer news, or rumours rather, that Jose Mourinho said he's interested in signing Diego Godin from Inter. And I just thought, obviously. Obviously, what a Mourinho man that would be.
Yeah, you can make that one up. Yeah. You can just make that one up and be completely comfortable that no one's going to deny it, really.
To be fair to Mourinho, he was out and about recently. He was pictured on social media helping out in sort of various ways.
Do you really want that, though? I'm not sure. He was at a shelter somewhere, wasn't he? But the exacting standards of the man, like, I don't know, if you put one foot wrong in any slight way, he's not talking to you, he's undermining you, he's telling the boss that you're terrible. I don't think I'd want Jose Mourinho volunteering anywhere I'm involved.
I think that's very spiteful, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he was just making omelets with who is it? Claudio out of Claudio Pizarro and the other players. Do you remember that years ago? The omelet chat.
What did he do?
Do you remember years ago when he was first Chelsea manager and he was saying about how we want to make a good omelet. To make a good omelet, you need good eggs. Like, and he started naming, I think, like Claudio Pizarro, who Chelsea had signed. Probably mentioned Frank Lampard because he's loved him. Okay, these are good omelets. These are good eggs. That makes a good omelet, or something like that.
It doesn't ring a bell, but I can completely yeah. believe it.
Yeah.
Speaking of food and misusing it, James Milner his little 11 about was it like a coronavirus kind of like self-isolation 11 or something?
Visual pun 11, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Well, he had a burger and that was on the floor.
Yeah.
Because he was pointing at stuff. I was like, stop putting all your food on the floor. Patrick Berger, yes. He put Patrick Berger on the floor. I was like, don't put food on the floor, James Milner, honestly. But
it was in a container, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it still looked very wasteful. Looked rank, to be fair.
Well, in my experience, Patrick Berger always stayed on his feet, so that's poor that he's put him on the floor like that.
Very true. It reminded me, did you ever watch Bottom with Rick Mayall and Adrian Edmondson when they have that game of chess?
Yes.
It sort of reminded me of that for some reason.
That's how I actually play chess, just think all the pieces can move wherever they want.
Yeah, indeed. Did you see that Odi Ighalo has been offered a 2-year extension at his parent club, Shanghai Shenhua, worth $400,000 a week? And I thought to myself...
Not now, Shanghai.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is so tenuous for him, though, isn't it? Because he wants to stay at Man United and see if he can win a contract, but he doesn't have any games in which to do it. So yeah. I really feel for Ighalo. I want this to work out for him. I think we all do. But what a difficult set of circumstances, shall we say.
But he could be of the opinion that, look, it's not my fault the football stopped, and when I was called upon, I did exactly what I was asked to do, and I'll continue to do that, and maybe push for the idea that people at Man United have seen enough for them to take a chance on him. Because and I know it was mostly me, mocked him when he came to United. Clearly he loves the club, he wants to be there, he's clearly an absolute worker as well, and he's offered them something. I mean, he's contributed when he's been asked to.
And I would
be of the opinion that Manchester United need a bit of that at the
moment. Why did you mock him when he went there?
I didn't mock him, I just mocked Man United for doing it, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
it felt to me like a ridiculous deal for a club the size of Man United to do, given the circumstances that were reported at the time about how they went after him, where they allegedly went after, or it was reported, they went after Josh King at Bournemouth. They turned them down, and then United went back to Josh King's agent and said, have you got anyone else? And he said, oh, I've got Odi Ighalo. And that, to me, felt like a bit of a strange way of doing business for a club the size of Man United. So let's be honest, Marcus, that situation was roundly mocked on the ramble, as it would be. But to be fair to Ighalo, he's stepped up when he's been asked to, and he's contributed. So, you know, the joke's on me, really. Again.
Once again.
Can you imagine that football will be starting in China before it starts over here? So, you know, he'll have football to play.
Yeah. Speaking of players in China, you know, top players that are from South America or Europe or Africa, as the case is with Ighalo, of course. I've been watching the Amazon documentary on the Brazilian team from the Copa America last year, the All or Nothing thing. And it was always nice to see various players and so on and so forth. And I started thinking about Oscar, who played for Chelsea.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm. And I suddenly thought, hang
on.
He's
a good player.
I was like, he's still there. And he is. He's at Shanghai SIPG. I'm sure there's a shortened version of that name. But he's in Shanghai. And I thought, oh, yeah, I remember he left Chelsea in about 2016. He was brilliant. He'd won the league, done all sorts of. He got 47 caps.
He went for huge money as well.
Yeah, he was one of their sort of starting players in the 2014 World Cup as well. I'm not sure. I don't think he's played for Brazil in the last sort of few years since he's gone to China. I mean, I think he scored a lot of goals out in China. But I did think to myself, come on, Oscar, you've had your run. It's about time you come back to Europe or something like that, you know?
It's only 28.
Yeah, I know. I suddenly completely forgot about this really, really skillful, technically gifted attacking midfielder who contributed a lot when he came to the Premier League and has contributed to the Brazilian national team. I was like, oh, blimey.
Well, it's interesting about whether he would be able to come back and if he's only 28, I mean, you'd think he would, because you look what happened with Axel Witsel, who's now playing in the heart of the Dortmund midfield and doing pretty well. And he was, I'm fairly certain he was picked for the Belgian national team throughout that period when he was in China. Of course, he wasn't there as long as Oscar's been there. But if Oscar's been roundly ignored by football in general, which I think he has, because that's the first time I've heard his name or seen his name mentioned in years, maybe his priority is just to secure as much money as he can for his future and for his family. And obviously, that's his decision. But you'd think he would have done that by now. So come back. Come back and show us what you're made of, because it'd be great to see him back in Europe. I completely forgot about his existence. It's weird to hear his name even.
Well, Yannick Carrasco came back. He's been on loan at Atletico Madrid, although I don't know how much he's played and so on. But still, though, there is that, you know, he has sort of come back in some capacity. Even Yakubu came back, for crying out loud. I mean, he popped up at, was it Reading
less
in the FA Cup?
Come on.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know what happened. I do not know what happened to make him leave China and come back here.
For Reading. The thing that, I mean, China's not a one-way street anymore anyway. Like China, Turkey, big leagues that spat big old amounts of money on footballers. People do come back and they do succeed. You just kind of worry about, is he learning it? Has he learned anything in the last 3 years? Is he going to come back a better footballer? Probably not. But he was clearly bossing it at Chelsea. So, yeah, come back.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Come back, for crying out loud.
Pete, would you go to China for money if you were a footballer?
Yeah, of course I would. I'm in Japan all the time.
Yeah, might as well.
Going on holiday to Japan is not the same as moving to China as a footballer, though, is it?
Give me a ticket now, I'll go. I'll go now.
Now?
You can't. You're not allowed.
I'm already packing my Isovox.
Oh, dear. Well, speaking of those who left football for a bit, that's as best I can do, ladies and gentlemen. Royce and Drenthe. Who's heard about Royce and Drenthe? The ex-Real Madrid, Everton and Sheffield Wednesday player who was once tipped for big things. He retired at 29. He had a little dabble with music, as we all have. Pete's already had one today, even, when he left football. He's now starring in a crime drama in the Netherlands called Mokro Mafia.
Mm. What?
Yeah, how about that? He's
that's
starring.
Unbelievable. His career is a strange, strange thing, because, of course, everyone loved him. He was rated as a kid, wasn't he? And he went to Real Madrid. Safe to say, it might have been a touch too early for him. And everything's been difficult, shall we say, since then. And I'm including a loan spell at Everton in that.
Oh, yeah.
But to retire at 29 and now be an actor, good on him. Is he actually any good? Have you seen him or not?
I watched the trailer and I can't tell if he's any good because it's in Dutch. in the Instagram post he did about this announcing it, he said, I am more than excited to show you this other side of Royston, but I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. In the third person, which is great. And between acting and football, he was also a rapper for a bit called Roya Two Faces. And I feel like his life is almost like how a little boy imagines his life might go. It's like, yeah, I'll be a footballer and then I'll be a rapper and then I'll be an actor. But he's actually living it in a quite underwhelming way.
It's like the guy out of the E Street Band who obviously, he was in The Sopranos, wasn't he? And then he
Stephen Van Zandt.
And then he was in like a Norwegian big chunky jumper kind of
Lilyhammer.
Kind of, Lilyhammer. Yeah. And I remember sort of being in, I went to Bruce Springsteen's tour in Norway. And Steve Van Zandt was like the biggest star. He was bigger than Bruce Springsteen in Norway. It was the weirdest thing. So maybe Royston will be big licks in the Netherlands. It'll be like a massive star.
He plays Silvio Dante in The Sopranos. And he's just so good in it. He's the only character in The Sopranos who's a little bit cartoony. But it's just lovely to see him. Like, it's not, he's a bit over the top, but it's fine just to have one. You're allowed your one over the top cartoony character, and he's definitely that. But Drenthe also opened up a clothing store as well, apparently. So he's done a bit of everything. He's done a bit of everything badly, hasn't he? I think we could all relate to that, can't we? Everything he's done badly, but he's tried it a lot.
Well, I think he's tried lots of things and given up when they've become hard.
There's a lesson in that for all of us.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, I totally take the point, and I understand that it's not sort of black and white. There's a lot of shades of grey. But, you know, he did play for Real Madrid. I mean, I wouldn't mind to have as bad a football career as he had. He was another one who went to Reading, like Yakubu.
Have a bit of respect. He is a funny one, though, in terms of Madrid signings, though, because, like, they've got the odd Julian Faubert in there, haven't they?
Falling asleep on the bench at the Bernabeu. Come on.
How dare you? Do you know what I mean? I mean, far better players wouldn't dare. You're lucky to be there as it is.
It's a message for the team, Jim. That's what that is.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a quick break, and after which, we'll have some emails.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Right, chaps, what's been going on in Ramble Town?
Yes, it's time for me to remind everyone about the existence of our Patreon for a number of reasons. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. If you sign up before 5 o'clock today, Friday, the 27th of March, you will be eligible to win a signed and framed 1990 England shirt by the great Paul Gascoigne. So Paul Gascoigne signed and framed England shirt, courtesy of our friends at icons.com. Bloody good eggs they are at icons.com. Thank you very much for getting involved and giving people a further incentive to sign up to our Patreon, which is a fantastic place. You also get plenty of extra content over there. You get a weekly Ramble On episode, which is best of stuff and behind the scenes stuff. You get a weekly mailbag show. You get Marcus's Speller Time videos. You get access to our Discord. It's all there in different tiers for you to take a look at. You'd be supporting us through this really difficult time as well, and we'd really very much appreciate it. Thank you very much to everyone who signed up so far. Please go and do so now. patreon.com/footballrambledaily. We'll love you forever. We'll see you on the Discord, and we can't wait to see one of you win that signed shirt as well.
The Discord threw up something very interesting this week, a revelation from you, Marcus, when talking about people talking about jobs they had when they were younger. And it came up that when you were a young'un in Scotland, you had a bacon round.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what that is?
And before you do explain that, Marcus, how have we got to 13 years of doing this show and that's never been mentioned before? Yeah. That is absolutely outrageous, in my opinion. It's a dereliction of duty.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
he wants the legend to grow.
Well, it's as it sounds. You know, I had a paper round for a bit, as I'm sure most of us did, and I also had a bacon round.
That isn't the logical leap you seem to think it is.
I've never heard of that before.
Well, you haven't lived. I mean, I don't know what was going on down old Rationville, where you boys are from, but
up in Russiaville, you were having a lovely time.
I used to have a couple of buckets of bacon, and it was
buckets! Buckets!
Well,
Marcus, I don't think you understand, right? Things that used to be delivered to your house, right? Newspapers, milk, lemonade, orange juice if you're lucky, drugs. They're the only things, okay? They're the only things that get delivered to your house.
Pete
had a drug round.
If people, I'm going to do the emails in a minute. If people have ever heard of anyone having, or even better, if you had one yourself, a bacon round, go at footballrambledaily.com.
Yeah.
Marcus, what were your prices?
Well, the reason why they were in, by the way, we had bacon delivered today. I mean, it was with a milk round and so on. So it does, that's the legacy anyway.
Answer the question.
It was £1.50.
You get free bacon because you're like a veteran.
not in Southwest London. I'm not.
Do you like being in the Freemasons?
Do you talk to the bacon delivery man? Going, oh yeah, the oldest game in town. Listen, I used to when I was a kid.
Man and boy.
Bookings are lighter than they used to be.
Anyway, listen, Marcus is a pork mason. Marcus, what were your prices?
Do you remember the Lilt advert when they used to say, here come the Lilt man? Well, that was a bit like, yeah, here come the bacon man. So a packet of smoked was £1.52. A packet of non-smoked was £1.48.
I'd pay the extra 4 pence.
Yeah, absolutely. 4 pennies of smoking.
Yeah, putting a price on the smoke. So Marcus, as well, as I understand this, you had a little like white, like butcher's jacket, didn't you? And I love the idea of that because a white jacket can mean a lot of things. Just imagine the people of Scotland at the time just spying you coming up the driveway going, oh, I wonder what this little scientist can want.
If you want, I'll be Bunsen burner.
Yeah. You see the people of Scotland, it was just very much a neighbourhood of Edinburgh I was going around. I wasn't cycling the nation.
Oh, some of those rounds out in the Western Isles will be absolutely hellish.
The bacon boy's late again. Well, I can't get up to the Isle of Skye, I'm afraid. Sorry. No, it was in my little neighbourhood in Edinburgh, yeah. But a few people, I wasn't the only one. It carried on for years.
Oh,
I
mean,
it
was ice cream like was.
It was a bit like the Phantom, you know, just whoever had the white jacket was the
bacon boy.
Was the talk of the town, yeah.
So are you kind of touting yourself as some sort of superhero then?
Well, I think I am. I mean,
I suppose actually I would greatly appreciate someone who just brought me bacon. Although I want to know more about the bucket. Like, was it all just like raw in the bucket?
Exactly. So like if you're in a white coat with like a buckets full of meat, you look like a medical student just selling body parts. It's so weird. Yeah.
No, they were in packets.
They were selling body parts. They were body parts of a pig.
Yeah.
I wasn't like getting individual rashers of bacon out, waving them around. Do you want that one? That one's got a bit of fluff on it.
You're very defensive about this.
I'm surprised how ridiculous your suggestions are with what went on in the bacon round. The buckets were white.
You are defending the old boys club that is the bacon bucket men.
The bacon boys.
But there's a lot of honour of being a former bacon boy.
The fabulous bacon boys.
Oh, Marcus, what would they have called it in Northern Ireland? A bacon rind.
A rind, bacon rind.
Yeah.
So it is. That's
it's a play. It's a play on the word rind.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Rind round.
You like that? Not much. Fair enough.
Shaking Bacon Stevens.
Do get in touch if you are familiar with the Bacon Boys.
Yeah, I bring the bacon home so you don't have to, was our slogan. It wasn't really. Should have been, though. Missed a trick there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have some emails with PTD.
It's time for emails with PTD. Hello to Mark, who's got in touch. Memories of the 2012 Olympics. Dear Football Ramble, I've been meaning to write this email for several weeks now, but with so much time on my hands, I thought it was finally worth typing it out. As Luke mentioned a while back, how awesome the Super Saturday of the 2012 Summer Olympics was. I remember my own experience. At the time, I was sat in an Irish pub in Bath watching the events unfold when suddenly the Burnley first team rolled in. They were in town for a pre-season friendly.
Wow.
The rest of the evening was spent watching Brian Jensen ordering so much vodka the pub ran out while the whole team shouted, go on, Mo, as he sprinted to victory. A grand time was had by all. Thank you, Mark, for that one.
That's amazing. What kind of other players would be around in the Burnley team at that point? Mm. I mean, they were in the Championship at the time, so you probably think talking about Ross Wallace and Sam Vokes. Charlie Austin was brilliant that season.
Yes, he was there, wasn't he? Yeah.
He'd have been there. So it would have been a real treat for everyone concerned.
He'd have put him away.
Oh, big time. Trippier. Kieran Tripps would have been there.
Was Tripps there, was he?
Was it Charlie Austin or do you mean Danny Ings?
No, Austin was there, mate.
Oh,
scored loads of goals that season.
I forgot that.
Well, here's one from Harry. It's a joke. Harry says, hi, gang. Thought I'd chip in with the multiple red card match theme Luke asked us to send in. Multiple red cards in one match, which takes me back to Leeds United 4, MK Dons 1. Of all the places to go and act like twats, the Dons took it upon themselves to impersonate Leeds as two centre-backs and a central midfielder got sent off to leave MK Dons with eight men in April 2010. They proceeded to lose 4-1. The referee was Michael Oliver. Carl Robinson said after the match, when referees get it wrong, you can tell by the reaction of opposition players. I don't think many of their players thought that Doumbé was sending off, obviously forgetting that there was two other red cards and it would have made no difference at all. And also, Mike says, evening, guys, the Boyer Dyer chat. We had a bit of a scrap for Newcastle United back in the day. Reminded me of a lesser-known Spurs game away to Stoke where when Benoit Esuokoto and Vedran Koyuka came to blows on the pitch. It doesn't stick out in the popular memory much, mainly, I think, because it was overshadowed in the same game by Julio Gomez bruising a rib and fully bursting into tears on the pitch. We also lost 3-0, so a great day all round. I don't remember that match, but it sounds fucking brilliant.
I miss football so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. I love Gomez. Did he start the final for Watford when Man City beat them 6-0? I think he did. And that was like
right, yeah.
That was going to be his last game of professional football, and it was that was quite sad.
So that's why he's crying.
Yeah, but he seems like such a nice chap.
Nicknamed the Octopus.
Is he?
I think so, yeah.
I think he's still on Watford's books though. I don't think he'd retired after that 6-0. He thought, well, I'm not leaving that the last note.
He's still in the changing room. Just processing it all.
Yeah, maybe. Quite possibly, Jim.
Yeah. Hello to Fergus. Everyday footballers. Evening, Ramblers. I thought as there's bugger else all to do at the moment, I'd reignite the long-running topic of seeing footballers in everyday situations. I wondered, though, if I could go one step further and mention seeing footballers acting strangely in everyday situations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fine.
Acting strangely.
Ideal.
My friend's dad recently told me a story that he was once on a long-haul first-class flight sat across the aisle from none other than Steven Gerrard.
Oh.
He said that for the whole flight, Gerrard just sat there blankly staring at the headrest of the seat in front. When we asked him whether Gerrard did anything else, he said no. He didn't read, he didn't listen to music, he didn't get a drink or even watch the TV. He just sat in total silence and looked straight ahead. He ended the story by just saying, God, footballers are thick, aren't they?
How long was the flight, though? How long was it?
I mean, over an hour, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
I think so, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
If he had a lot on his mind or he was trying to, I don't know, figure out some tactical conundrum, then it's not that weird.
Get a pen and paper out.
Maybe he had a terrible hangover.
Maybe he did. Play the golf game on the back on the seat backs. Play one of those little video games. Play a bit of poker or something.
No one uses those, do they? No one plays them.
I'm a don at the golf game.
My mate and I, when we flew to Cuba a few years ago, we won the what's the flipping Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
We
won it and we were so elated. And part of me sort of looked up, expecting like the captain to come down and kind of present us with something.
Give you some bacon.
Yeah. I too was a bacon rounder. Yeah, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Where do you think his plane's going? I'm delivering bacon. Hannah Lilly also got in touch saying, don't have a go at geography teachers. Luke should be very proud to be considered to pass as one of us.
Yeah, I can pass as one of you when I dress badly, but as soon as I am asked to name a capital city, the whole conceit unravels very quickly.
That's
so,
not true. You're very good, Luke.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Oh, thanks, Marcus. Give me one now.
What's the capital of Mongolia?
Kenya.
Mongolia's Ulaanbaatar.
See, that's nice. So good, isn't it? See, don't
we didn't even practice that either.
No. I knew that you knew
you
it.
You should put an elbow patch on your jacket for that.
I'm not wearing a jacket, so it'd have to just be on my skin, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like a big plaster.
Get a tattoo?
Yeah, I could do. I'll do that next time.
can we get a quick what we're wearing check? I'm wearing PJ bottoms and a Newcastle United hoodie. Nice.
I've actually been dressing in the most extravagant things I own. For some reason, that's what I'm doing to stay sane, even though I think it implies the opposite. But today, I'm actually just wearing black jeans and an orange T-shirt. I've rested that.
Marcus, I presume you're wearing your white bacon jacket.
Correct. And nothing else.
Yeah. I'm wearing tracksuit bottoms and a pink T-shirt. Ooh, makes the boys wink.
We were sharing pictures of like where we were recording on the WhatsApp together, and Marcus genuinely looks like he's recording in Hornbase.
Yeah, your recording studio looks bloody lovely, Marcus.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful kind of like wooden walled, kind of like beautifully lit, kind of show voiceover booth.
Mm. Well, what less would you expect from the King of Surrey?
Yeah. I know.
Well, very. It's a Scandinavian design that my wife did all the legwork on. And fortunately, at that time in the morning, you get the sunshine come in and it illuminates it quite beautifully. So I snapped the photo there.
It's lovely. Do you want a final email, guys?
Love one, mate.
This is from Tom Woods. Holler, Ramblers, and greetings from Madrid, where everything is just fine. While the entire world turns upside down, some things remain constant, namely the continued misfortunes of Kevin Keegan. Sharing with you two examples that 2 weeks of binge-watching and podcast listening has turned up. After the much-lauded 1-0 defeat against Germany in the final game at Wembley, there is a famous shot of Keegan walking from the pitch soaked in the rain. At this point, he kicked away a flattened drinks can in frustration, presumably knowing his time as national team boss was over. What is less known is that the can went on to hit FA Managing Director Adrian Bevington on the back of the leg, causing a deep gash that required hospital treatment. Andy Cole, in an interview about his career, Andy Cole only has glowing memories about his time at Newcastle, except for perhaps when he was recruited. As a red-hot youngster at Bristol City, Cole was naturally on the radar of some of the country's biggest clubs, so imagine his excitement when he received a call from the one and only Kevin Keegan. He comes to the phone, waiting to hear what his legend of the game has to say to him, and he says, "Hi, Adrian." The rest is history.
Why can't you be more like Peter Schmeichel?
But thank you very much to Tom for that email. Very enjoyable. You email shortfootballrambledaily.com,
and now Pete is reading it out. Well done. And there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely round of emails, much like a lovely round of bacon, of course. And now it's time for Time Panel. Yes, indeed. Each week on Football Ramble Daily, we select a Ramble episode synopsis from the past at random, and we just discuss what we remember about it. Well, we haven't done it at random this week. Ooh. Because one of our lovely listeners selected this episode for us on Twitter, Adam Burton, aka Nobby Burton, and the episode he selected is Dog Not Dead from the 13th of October 2010.
Oh,
and
we're going
the synopsis,
back.
Oh, no, way back, way back. The synopsis is as follows. The Ramblers take a shifty at the weekend's international fixtures, casting a glance so sideways that they almost damage their retinas. They also touch on Laurie Sanchez's legacy in Northern Ireland, and the president of Bolivia puts an opponent down quicker than Roy Keane's dog. I think Pete's written that synopsis.
I think so.
He's the only one who uses the word shifty.
This was a monumental week in the week of football, because it was the same week that Andy Carroll got. But it wasn't the same show. I think I forget if that was maybe the preview show or one of the other shows. But it was the same week that Andy Carroll was bailed, and a part of the conditioned bail was to live with Kevin Nolan and his family.
Oh yeah, that was incredible. Yes. That time. I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Also that week in football. Alessandro Del Piero, I think he equaled Juventus all-time leading goal scorer on 178 Serie A goals. And Giampiero Boniperti, who was the guy he equaled with, said, "I am not a liar and will tell you straight that it annoyed me a bit." when Del Piero equaled his record.
I love honesty.
I actually listened to this episode because I know Jim listened last week, so I thought I'd listen this week. Mm. And I've pulled out a few highlights. One is, I think it's the first ever mention on a ramble for Neymar.
Oh, wow.
And we rally against the idea that people shouldn't overcomplicate penalties. And I think one of the direct quotes is, there's a boy in Brazil at the moment, everyone rates him, Neymar. He missed a penalty because he overcomplicated it. Oh, things haven't changed much since then. There's also a brilliant story about Federico Macheda. You remember him?
Yeah.
He made his debut for United, scored that great goal against Aston Villa, then kind of disappeared. But there's a great story in the newspapers that week.
He played in the Championship.
I mean, for what he was kind of promising to do, his career was a little bit disappointing. But there's a bit picked up in the newspapers that I think they mistranslated on purpose of him calling Wayne Rooney a chav.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and there was also one for you, Jim. Carlos Tevez apparently threatening to quit football back in 2010. He's still playing. He's still playing now. Okay. And Pete, at that time, you said you felt a lot of sympathy for Carlos because he's so alone in England.
Oh, yeah. Look, fish out of water. I came from the northern lands to London. I know how he feels. And also, I'm a Premier League level footballer.
And the title of the episode, Dog Not Dead, comes from the idea that everyone said that Roy Keane's dog had died, and he came out angrily and said his dog hadn't died.
Oh, right.
he also sort of asked, what was the day of the newspaper you were reading? And I think I made the quite salient point that you can't read a newspaper from the future, so therefore it happened. You know what I mean? So it's either the end of the story for a dog is that it dies. So surely even the most up-to-date newspaper is a best-case scenario for that situation, surely.
Pete, I think that's the saddest sentence I've ever heard. The end of the story for a dog is that it dies.
Yeah.
Well, it's true of all living things, but still.
It's just the facts, isn't it?
I also listened to this show. I mean, it started with me talking about Lord Byron having a club foot. It was the birth of... It was the birth of the Chris Waddle penalty thing. I think that was the first time we'd mentioned Chris Waddle talking about penalties. And Chichester City, a little funny story at the end. Chichester City, we don't mention them enough on this ramble, and I'm here to rectify it. Manager sacked during a game. The manager was sacked during the game. They were playing their big rivals, and they were winning. He got sacked.
That's mad.
I listened to a bit of it as well, and at one point Luke said that Miroslav Klose would not get Ronaldo's World Cup goal scoring records. No. And it was also...
for the hot takes.
Yeah. It was also around the time that Craig Levine put Scotland out against the Czech Republic without a striker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm. Yeah, man, that's classic. That is an absolute classic football story, that, when he did that. People were fuming at the time, because that's 10 years ago. My goodness.
Yeah, I'm still angry about that.
Can we call this episode Hot Takes and Cold Bacon, please?
Yes, we can.
Oh dear. By the way, you mentioned in the synopsis the president of Bolivia, which was at the time Evo Morales. I don't think he's still the president of Bolivia. The story was that he was caught on camera kneeing an opponent in the groin during a football game, which is quite unpresidential-like.
I'd agree. Although you say that, I mean, there's all sorts of characters being presidents these days, mate. So that's quite mild.
Well, yeah, that's true. But yeah, they played a match. It ended 4-4. Four players were sent off, including one of the president's bodyguards. I mean, what a match that is.
They all play for Hearts.
Anyway, his bodyguard was playing in the game.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That is multitasking.
Well, after the final whistle, one of the opposition players who had... been a bit naughty towards the president. Police tried to arrest him, which is mad.
Amazing.
Don't ever get if you're about to play a football match and you're in South America or any part of Latin America, and the president of that country is lining up against you, feign injury and get the hell out of there. Nothing good can come of that. Yeah. I only scored a goal and I got 3 months. You know, it's just it's just not what you want, is it? Oh dear, ladies and gentlemen, and now it's time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Mask Winger.
It is time for the Masked Winger. Hi, my name is, I think, Thabo Cavez, and here are my clues. Are you ready, guys?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Should we say our names to the stop because we're not in the same room?
Yeah. It's a mystery football situation, or footballer, rather.
Have you got a box on your head?
Well, I have anyway, so I can't put another one on.
What do you mean you have anyway?
It's a life-imitating art, isn't it? He's got the ISO box on.
Yeah. Right, of course.
I don't know why I keep on name-checking Isofox. I genuinely think it's a bad product.
You need a bacon bucket on your head.
He's still using it. That's great, Pete Donaldson's psyche, that is. I genuinely think it's a bad product, but I'm still going to use it.
Well, I can't be in a lovely palatial DFS showroom like Marcus, so, you know. Right, number one. Clue number one. I was born on the 1st of May, 1981, which is a day after me.
Luke. I'll go for Wesley Snyder.
No, it's not Wesley Snyder, no.
Marcus.
All right.
I'll go for Michael Carrick.
No.
Jim got nothing.
Just got nothing. From 2001 to 2019, I made 80 appearances and scored 6 goals for my country.
Between when, sorry?
2001 and 2019.
Okay.
Bloody hell, that's a good career.
Mm. Isn't it?
It's a very good career. Marcus. Frank Lampard.
No.
6 goals for England. Oh, yeah.
I played for 11 different teams in 6 different countries.
Oh, one of these pricks.
Yeah.
Rude. I won the treble in 2009, making 36 appearances for my team. There's 10 clues, so I'll rattle through them. Okay. More
treble
impressively...
Treble in 2009?
Jim.
Yeah.
Seydou Keita.
No.
Marcus.
More impressively, though... Sorry, Marcus.
Silvinho.
No.
Oh.
More impressively, I won the League Cup in 2011 with Birmingham.
Oh. Very nice.
That is nice. Stop, Jim. Mauro Zarate?
I thought you said stop the gym. Stop all the gyms. No, incorrect, incorrect. Next clue. I was called Zauberling, or Sorcerer's Apprentice, for my silky skills and dazzling tricks while playing for Stuttgart.
Play for Birmingham as well.
I was the first player from my country ever to play in the Champions League.
Marcus.
Ida
Gudjonsson?
No.
Luke. Is it Alexander Kleb?
Ooh. It is Alexander Kleb!
Yeah. Well played, sir.
Yeah, give me a guitar riff.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
thanks, mate. That was fitting. Well, yeah, he's Belarusian, wasn't he? From Belarus.
He was, yeah. Right. I forgot he played for Birmingham.
That's what threw it for me, yeah.
Yeah. Pete, can you bring a guitar to the studio when we're back in there? I quite
Why has this never come out before?
Can I give you it's a Pignose guitar with an integrated speaker, and I rate that product. So there we go. We don't have many ads on at the moment, so I'm doing my own.
Put that on your head then.
Yeah. The final clue for this really amuses me. Alexander Hleb's married to a pop singer from a Belarusian pop group called Topless.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Topless.
Better than bottomless.
I can't wait to find fame and fortune in a girl band. What are we going to call it? Oh, fuck.
It means what in English? Goodness me.
Some tart chopping hits. Careful.
Tart chopping.
Yeah. Tart chopping.
My goodness.
Marcus Bella.
How dare you, Peter?
All right.
Anyway, before we go, a little reminder that we should be watching a new film, which I can't remember the title of for Pete's film. Playing for Keeps.
Yeah. It looks so bad.
It really does.
We'll review that on Monday.
Gerard Butler. It is Gerard Butlerist.
Pete's fault. Pete's fault. And not Pete Donaldson. It's Pete Donaldsonist.
It is. It very much is. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Myself and Jonathan Wilson are back tomorrow with another brilliant match from our Greatest Games podcast, of course, and another fantastic guest. So get your lug holes around that one. Thanks very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.